that I think is pretty neat that I want to do, but that's not the one I'm going to do. Maybe in Sabbath conversations. And then I've got another one. You know, the Lord has just been dropping a verse in me all week. And just, you know, just during the week, it would run through me. And I just had a sense there's a lot in it. But he wouldn't let me study it out. And so when I was finally coming in yesterday to get all the notes for today, I still had that verse. You know, and that verse is burning in me. And it's like, Lord, I know there's a message in there. I want to get to it. But there was nothing. I mean, it's like, but don't deal with it now. Don't get to it now. And in my typical fashion of you know, trying to make sure everything's under control, I said, okay, Lord, well, that's fine. I know that's burning in me, but, you know, I'm going to put together a message for tomorrow, you know, because I don't want to get up here and say, well, I got one word. I want to get a message here. Then so this was like plan B. How many of you know God doesn't like plan Bs? Well, let's put it this way. He's got something better than plan B. Plan B is pretty good. It's a great message, and like I say, maybe we'll give plan B. But I walked in this morning and I said, well, Lord, you know, I've got my plan B here. I didn't print off any copies of it to pass out. It's just plan B. He says, good. Well, that's okay. You can just put that aside because I want you to go with the first thing that's been burning in you. And he said, and if it makes you comfortable, I'll let you write a few notes. So he told me that 10 minutes before I came in here. But I didn't really need the notes because all he told me was just open your Bible and go with it. And very interesting, because we're in Galatians 5, and it's not surprising because the subject is walking in the Spirit. And it's like, you know, you can't preach walking in the Spirit if you're not walking in the Spirit. I mean, you know, you can't say trust the Spirit to guide you and then say, but I'm going to trust my notes to guide me. So I think the Lord had something in mind. But, you know, we've come through a season of repentance, a season of making right things that need to be made right. And all along that, I had a sense that there's something on the other side of Yom Kippur. There's something that we need to be. You know, you can be Moses in the middle of Egypt, and you're telling the people, listen, you know, you're going to be delivered, you're going to be delivered, you're going to be delivered, and the plagues come, and the judgment comes, and you're seeing all that happen, and there's a sense something's happening, God's up to something. But, you know, the day of deliverance comes. I said the day of deliverance comes. The day of deliverance always comes. And the day of deliverance comes, and the people of Israel, the children of Israel, step out into the wilderness, and here's the question, now what? Now what? You know, Egypt is behind us, you know, Pharaoh's let us go, we have a promised land that is our destiny, but so we've broken free from the past, but we're not yet where we need to be. Does that describe anybody here? Amen? You've broken free of some things in the past, but you're not yet where you need to be. Now what? And so they get out there, and it's like, well, what are we going to do? And Moses says, well, here's what's going to happen. When we get out there, there's going to be a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night to lead us. Well, Moses, where's the map? Does your GPS have the route to Canaan plugged into it? You know, I mean, you know, where's our first stop? What about our third stop? Have you planned for provisions 13 days out into the, you know, where's the quartermaster corps? What have you planned? He says, well, my plan is to follow God. My plan is to follow God. Well, how's God going to do that? Well, God said that there'd be a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Don't you know that as the sun went down, there were a lot of Israelis looking out to see if that pillar of fire was going to show up? And you got to know a lot of them opened the tent in the morning to see if that cloud was there. Why? Because if the cloud doesn't show up, they don't know where to go. Come on. And the cloud or the pillar would come to a place and stay there. And as long as it stayed there, they stayed there. But then they get up in the morning and they look out and there's a cloud and the cloud begins to move. Oh, pack up quick. Get everything ready. It's time to move. You know, the cloud is moving. Oh, grab the clothes. Pack them in the suitcase. Here we go. We're off again. Where to? Don't have a clue. I'm following the cloud. I'm following God. And then all of a sudden he settles. And you know, oh, this is great. We're settled. And you're there for weeks. And you're sitting there, and there's water, and there's food, and there's manna, and you know, you're just having this great time. And then all of a sudden, you know, you wake up one morning, and that cloud starts moving again. You got the shofar start blowing, assemble the camp. We got a million people that we got to say, wake up, you don't have time, you know, pack your clothes, the cloud is moving. We got to start out. First tribes, go, you follow the tribe. Second tribes, you go and follow the first tribe. Getting everybody lined up, and man, where are we going? You can imagine, where are we going today? I don't know. Does Moses know where we're going? No, he's following the cloud. He's following the cloud. Amen? You see, there comes a point when you got to burn bridges in your life and follow the cloud. I mentioned to those of you at Sukkot last night that we took Randy and Heidi down to the airport Thursday night. They left at 5 o'clock Friday morning. Friday morning, they're now in Mozambique. And they literally left everything behind. I mean, the only apartment they've ever known in 15 years, the only job she's ever had in 15 years, job is gone, apartment's gone, they don't have a phone anymore. I mean, all that stuff's gone. And what little belongings they have fit in a little 10 by 10 shed. You know, talk about burning your bridges. You know, so but there's no anxiety. You know, there was emotions about leaving, but no anxiety about the decision because they know they're doing what God said. Where's God leading you? Well, right now it's Mozambique. Well, what after 10 weeks? Don't have a clue. Yeah, but what are you going to do in 10 weeks? Whatever God tells us. Well, what if he doesn't show up? Wait a minute, our God always shows up. Excuse me, sorry about your God. See, I'm sorry about your God who doesn't show up, but my God always shows up. Amen? But why would he need to tell you what you're going to do in 10 weeks? You might think about it. See, God's always been that way in the lives of his heroes. He's been that for Abraham. He said, go to a land I will show you. What a comment. Go to a land I will show you. How about if you show me the land and then I make a decision whether I'm going to go? See, the decision is not made on the basis of what the land looks like. It's made on the basis of who is it that's telling you to go. See, we want to know what the plan of God is and then decide whether we'll follow it as if we have the ability to decide what's best for us. Huh? No. If God says go, we go. If God says drop this, we drop it. If he says pick up this, we pick up this. When you develop a hunger and a thirst after God, everything else in this life loses its significance. There is no such thing as a relationship more important than God. Amen? If you just set that guidance in front of you that I'm going to do what God tells me to do, I'm going to say what God tells me to say, no more, no less, I'm going to go where God wants me to go. And how many of us have had the experience that we haven't listened to God? And how many have found out that when you haven't listened to God, the end result is not good? Amen? You know, you can do it your own way. He gives you free will. But sooner or later, you come to a point and say, you know, everything I've done my own way, didn't have near the good results as doing it his way. God has a plan. God is not, you know, sitting off in the sky somewhere hoping you'll make it. Come on. He's got your number. He actively speaks. You and I will never be able to stand in front of God and point our finger and say, God, you never told me. You never told me that was wrong. You never told me that was a way to go. God has a perfect plan for your life. Amen. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can plan your way, but God's got a destiny, and the sooner you and I learn how to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the better off we're going to be. Amen? Have you found the book of Galatians? Galatians chapter 5. I want to pick up a few verses, then we're going somewhere. I want you to notice the first verse in Galatians 5, it was for freedom that Yeshua has set us free. It was for freedom that Yeshua has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It was for freedom that you've been set free. Say freedom. The Bible says if the Son makes you free, you are what? Free indeed. See, when you're free in Yeshua, you're totally free. You're totally free. You don't have any hang-ups. Amen? He came to make you free. There's a freedom. Boy, I don't know about you, but I want to be free. Amen? Jump down to verse 13. He says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. There it is again. You were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Now, notice that contrast. To be free doesn't mean I'm free from obligation. See, because when you're free from obligation, you're really serving yourself, and your flesh is the worst taskmaster you'll ever have. Amen? I mean, your flesh will get you into trouble. Paul says at one point, I'm free to eat everything, but not everything is beneficial. Boy, if you could just live out that one phrase. You know, it's not a question of legalism. It's a question of you're free, but don't use your freedom to put your flesh in bondage. Don't use your freedom to do things. Oh, I'm free to do that. Well, of course you are, but it's not wise to do that. It's not wise to say that. It's not wise to watch that. Are you free to do that? Yes, you have free will. But let's not use our freedom in such a way that it trips us up and it indulges our sinful nature. So what I want to deal with today is this question. How do we stay out of the sinful nature? How do we stay out of the sinful nature? We talked about that earlier, about before Yom Kippur, about Paul's battle. You know, the good I want to do, I don't do. The things I know I shouldn't be doing, I'm doing things I should be doing, I have failed to do. And he comes up with that statement, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Can anybody relate to that? Do you ever look at your life and it's like, oh man, I messed up again. Well, what's the solution? Is the solution that somehow or other we're going to step into a world that has no pressure on us? Isn't going to happen. When somebody says to me, "I have no challenges in my life," my answer is, "You're dead." That's the only people who have no challenges. They're dead. You know, I don't know what you mean, Pastor, when you say, you know, that the devil puts pressure on you. There's no pressure in my life. You're dead. I mean, you're so far dead, you don't know it. Your body hasn't caught up with it yet, but you're dead. I mean, there are dead people. They're walking around in a body that looks alive, but they've already died. They have no feelings. They have no emotions. They have no goals. They have no dreams. They're just living out an existence until the day when the body finally catches up with the condition that's already present in their spirit. See, they're already dead inside. Sooner or later, the body catches up with it. Am I talking to you? No, you're going to have pressures. You're going to have challenges. Yeshua said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Say the word persecute. That means somebody doesn't like you. They hate you. They're going to say evil things about you. They're going to come against you. They're going to want to see harm happen to you. That's persecution. Persecution isn't that, you know, somebody just won't talk to you anymore. That's not persecution. Persecution isn't somebody else got a raise and you didn't get a raise. Persecution is an active, aggressive stance against you. If you're going to live for Yeshua, you're going to find out you're going to be persecuted. There's going to be pressure. Amen? Peter writes to the early church and he says, don't count it a surprise, brethren, when these trials come upon you. Now, God isn't sending trials. He tests you with his word. That's what the Bible says very clearly. He sent his word to test them. The word tests me. Will you trust me? I'm going to put the word in front of you and see if you'll trust me. No, trials and temptations come from the accuser of the brethren, the one who's out to cut your legs out from underneath you. That's where all the pressure comes. You're going to have that in this life. It can take the form of financial pressure. It can take the form of physical challenges in your physical body. It might be mental torment. It might be addictions that you have, either psychological addictions or physical addictions. It can be all manner of pressure that comes against your life. All of that pressure is to knock you out of the kingdom of God. I didn't say knock you out of eternity. I didn't say knock you out of salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. You're going to go to heaven. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven, which is here and now. The kingdom of God, which you and I are meant to live in while we're in the midst of this world. And the devil's goal is to keep you from finding that kingdom. Amen? And so what do we do about that? What do we do about the fact that sin still becomes an issue with people? There's still pressure. Turn down in chapter 5 here to verse 18, and you're going to find the answer. Actually, let's back up to verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the sinful nature. That is the most explosive, powerful verse in your Bible for you once you're born again. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit. Listen, live by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the lusts of the flesh, is what the King James says. You won't gratify it. You know what most people are trying to do when they're trying to deal with sin, they're trying to deal with negative in their life? They're trying to get it out of their life by a thought process. Sometimes they're even trying to speak to it. And then there's a point where you do need to speak to things, but notice, you don't get rid of sin by meditating on the sin. You get rid of the sin by walking in the Spirit. If you'll live by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desire of your flesh. Do you know your human mind cannot multitask as much as you think it can? When you think your mind is multitasking, all it is doing is switching rapidly from one thought to another. You can do that very quick, but you can't hold two thoughts simultaneously in your mind. Amen? Things in your life that you think are so real are so transitory, it's amazing. You can be absolutely in depressed, discouraged, thinking life is terrible, and your body is so tired, you can't keep your eyes awake, and it's 10 o'clock at night, and you've got to get your body in bed because you're just wiped out, and life hasn't been good to you, and blah, 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 and you're down there, and all of a sudden, a knock comes on the door. And it's Ed McMahon. And he says, good news, you've just won the somebody's, sweepstakes, and I have $100 million for you. I guarantee you, tiredness will leave, depression will leave, discouragement will leave, your eyes will not be heavy. That one phrase will literally change. Can you see that? You know that's true. It would literally change everything. Your biochemistry would change. Listen to me. Your biochemistry, if we measured what's going on in your blood before that happened, we're going to get certain chemicals and things showing up. But the minute that news is there, within 5 minutes, your biochemistry has changed. You can find that out if you simply read the book called The Biology of Hope. Negative things cause negative things to happen into your bloodstream. But positive things likewise will change positively what's going on in your very bloodstream. Your blood will change. Your breathing will change. Your energy level will change. One word like that would change your entire life. So don't tell me, well, I can't do anything about it. No, you're choosing to stay where you are. But if you'll be led by the Spirit, if you'll let the Spirit of God speak to you, if you let the Spirit of God guide you, you can step into a space where one word from the Spirit of God can literally change your life, change your energy level. That can happen in a break room in the bank. We found that out last night. If you don't know what that means, you're going to have to talk with Sherry. I mean, it can happen. One word can energize you. I get up some mornings and, I make my confession over what's going on, and I go out there and Donna's got something on, or Jordan's got something on, Keith Moore's preaching or something, or we open our Bibles, and all of a sudden I read a word, and man, energy starts flowing. Not a word I never knew before. It's not great new revelation. It's a word from God that refreshes my body far more than food would have refreshed it. Far better than a cup of coffee would have wakened me up. Come on. I don't drink coffee anymore, but you know what I mean. It's like one word from God, one word from the Holy Ghost, one clear understanding from the Holy Spirit can absolutely change your life. And he says that if you'll live by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of your sinful nature, because you can't do both simultaneously. You may do them rapidly, but you can't do them simultaneously. If I'm thinking about God, the devil can't speak. That's why I try to tell you over and over and over again, the battle is in the mind, but the answer is in the mouth. The devil comes at your mind, but it is your mouth which must answer. If the devil brings a negative thought and you think, I'm just going to think that thought away. I'm going to think a positive thought. You lost. He's a master of that. The Bible says, speak it and decree it. Amen. A thought of evil comes and you say, that's not who I am. I am a woman, or I am a man of integrity. That's not my thought. Say that. That's not my thought. See, you got to, if a thought comes and it's not, you say the words. That's not my thought. And I preach that over and over again, and most of you go out and you don't do that. I'm trying to tell you the answer. I know you're not doing it. I know you're not doing it. I know you're not saying. You're thinking. You think you're saying. But you're not saying. If someone stood there, you didn't open your mouth and no words came out. You have to deal with the devil with the word. You speak the word. It says in the book of Revelation, we defeat him by the word of our testimony. You say what God's word says. And as you start talking, your brain has to shut up and listen to what you're saying. Come on, that's what happens. Your brain suddenly, whatever it was thinking about, when you start speaking, your brain gets quiet to listen to what are you saying. You can't be talking and the word of God and thinking the negative of the devil. You answer it with words. Amen? If you're led by the Spirit, if we'll live by the Spirit. Now, if you won't do that, at the points when you're not doing that, then what happens is the sinful nature has control. And the sinful nature acts. It acts out. It acts out. You know, your flesh will act out if you don't keep it under control. You know, you walk by, you're at a smorgasbord or something like that, and there's a whole plate full of sweets, and you know, you said, Lord, I'm not going to eat all that sugar anymore. I'm going to get that out of my diet. And more, I'll tell you, those apricots smell good, and the pastries look good. And so, you know, all of a sudden your flesh starts doing what? Crave. And your flesh will act out. Your flesh never just thinks. Huh? Have you ever thought that you could keep it in your mind? I'm just going to think about the pastry. I'm going to stand in front of it and just think about it. That isn't going to happen. Amen? You think about it and your hand starts like it has a mind of its own. You know, it just reaches right out for it, you know. But that's true about anything in your life. That's true about alcohol. That's true about drugs. It's true about pornography. You're not going to win that battle in your mind. Amen? Well, I'll just look at a little bit of it. No, you won't. No, you won't. Why? Because your flesh is driven towards things, and your flesh acts. It acts out. And notice the things that he says here in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And then he says this, I warn you as I did before, he's speaking to the Galatians, he's already talked to them about this, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's not talking about heaven. He's not talking about being born again. I was so glad when I heard Bill Winston teach that the other day. Felt like a lone voice saying that. That most of these kingdom passages are not about getting saved. They're about living in the kingdom of God, which is here and now. And Pastor Bill Winston, you know, said that with all his thousands of peoples out there last week. He was saying, listen, we're not talking about being saved. We're talking about learning to live in the kingdom of God. And what he says is, I warn you that if your flesh is allowed to continually act up, that if you live like that, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to inherit the blessings here. You know, you're going to give your tithe, but you're not going to get a return. You're going to speak a word, but it has no effect. You're going to read your Bible, but it doesn't do anything. Why? Because you're living such a worldly life that you can't step over into the blessings which aren't in this world. The blessings are in the kingdom of God, and when you're in the kingdom of God, they transfer into this world. Amen? You can confess all you want. Well, I'll tell you, this will fly in the face of my word of faith, brethren. You can confess all you want, but if you're acting differently, it isn't going to happen. You can confess, I'm a tither and an offering giver, and I know these offerings are blessed, and God meets all my needs. And according, you can confess that 7 times a day, but if you're living a life of the flesh, that isn't going to work. That isn't going to work. Those are words that have power when you're speaking them from within the kingdom of God. Come on. Glory to God. That's an answer for some of you. So the acts of the flesh are very, very clear. But look at verse 22. But, I love the word but. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Notice that the Spirit produces fruit, but the flesh produces acts. My flesh wants to act out. But the Spirit, if I walk by it, I don't have to work to produce the things of the... Come on. I don't have to put effort into love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I just got to get love. I've just got to love. I got to love. No, that's a work of the flesh. No, it is the fruit of the Spirit. If I'll follow the Spirit, if I'll just tuck up behind the Holy Spirit and say, you lead me, you guide me. I'm only going to say what you say. I'm only going to do what you tell me to do. Give me your heart. Give me your eyes. Give me your ears. If you'll follow the Holy Spirit, it automatically produces love and patience and peace and faithfulness and self-control. Have you ever tried to beat yourself into self-control? I mean, stop and think about it. The self is trying to control the self. Let me see, you have no self-control, so you're going to use that self that has no self-control to control what? It can't control anything. It has no self-control. I've got an out-of-control flesh, so I'm going to use an out-of-control flesh to control my out-of-control flesh. That isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. If it would have, you'd be there already. You'd be working, walking at some level of perfection. No. You can't work yourself into the fruit of the Spirit. You get so tight with the Spirit that He produces fruit. Now, you know, the Bible says that who you hang around with is who you're going to become. That's a paraphrase out of the Proverbs. It doesn't use that exact phrase. That who you hang around with, if you hang around with losers, you become a loser. That's a principle of life. Even the human potential movement knows that. You hang around with successful people, that success breeds success. Amen? If you look at truly successful people in life and say, who do they hang around with? They hang around with successful people. Amen? They love to be around each other. Well, aren't they competitors? No. They're competitors at one level, but they're wisdom at another level. Huh? So the man that is a good salesman over here, very successful, he loves being, you know, around another very successful sales. They feed off each other. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. Amen? But if you're playing around with somebody with a dull knife, your knife's going to get dull too. Am I talking to you? Come on. So association is going to do a lot. Do you understand that? You're going to become like who you associate with. When I first started listening to Brother Copeland's teachings all the time, this was years and years ago, 20, 30 years ago, I went through a period where people thought I came from Texas. I mean, that's when his accent was really Southern. People say, you know, are you from Texas? I said, no, where did you ever get that idea? I was listening to 4 hours a day of Brother Copeland. You know, I mean, some of you, if you've been down south and you spend like 3 months down south, y'all, you start talking a little bit different here. You notice it with Mary Frances. When she's up around here, you know, long enough, you know, she loses some of that Southern edge, but she gets down there. Here she is, an Irish girl that has a Southern accent. I mean, you know, and if she's not been up here for a long time, she really gets that Southern talk going. I mean, it just comes out of her mouth, you know, because that's who she's hanging around with. You pick up the qualities of who you're hanging around with. Huh? That in itself should give you pause. Who are you hanging around with? Well, Pastor, I really don't have many friends. Who's in your Facebook? By the way, what are you doing in Facebook? Come on. Those people are speaking into your life. Those people are speaking into your life. You will become like them. You can say, well, no, I won't. You can insist that all you want. But the Bible says what you're looking at, what you're listening to, who you're hanging around, that is forming your destiny. Amen? None of us can afford that. I can't afford that. Amen. I'm very careful who I spend time with. Watch that. So if that is true in the human relationships, how much more do you think it's true with the Holy Spirit? Come on. Glory to God. Tim, Scott, come up here. Okay. There you stand there. You stand over here. So now we have the Holy Spirit. Okay? And now we have a worldly friend, by illustration only. You know? And it's like, well, I come to church, and, oh, Holy Spirit, you're so great. Hallelujah. It's just good to be with the Holy Spirit. Didn't you just feel the Spirit today? You know, it's the end of Sabbath. See you later. What are we doing this week? And so we hang around all week. We hang around all week, you know? And then it's Sabbath, you know? See, it's my Sabbath. Hi, Holy Spirit, how are you? See, who's got the influence in my life? Huh? Glory to God. I mean, can you see that? Okay? You can go be seated. And now the Holy Spirit, how far do you want to be from the Holy Spirit? Just walk all the way across there, and then you can turn around back. There goes the Holy Spirit. I want to follow the Holy Spirit. I want to keep walking back and forth. I want to follow the Holy Spirit. Oh, where'd he go? Oh, he's going that way. Okay, I want to follow the Holy Spirit. If I follow the Holy Spirit, I don't want to be a nut, though. I don't want to become one of those charismatic flakes. You know, it's like, I don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit. I got to follow the Holy Spirit. I mean, keep going. The Holy Spirit's on the move. Come on, the Holy Spirit isn't going to say, I don't know what happened to Don. I think I'll stop. Oh, no, the Holy Spirit's moving. He's always moving. And sometimes he's going that way and you're going this way. You know what you do? That's called repentance. Repentance means you turn around. Huh? And you run after him. And you know, whoops, missed him again. You know, see, but what I want to do is I want to start getting close to the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, I can feel his presence now. And I want to follow him through my life. And that's good. And that's good. And let me see. I'll tell you. You know, if I walk in the Spirit, if I follow the Spirit, my flesh won't act. Let me see. I wonder how close I can get to the Spirit. You know, it's like, oh, well, praise God. You know what? I can't think about other things in my life because I'm so close to the. I'm too busy watching his footsteps. So I've got to stay right behind him and stay in the Holy Spirit. And what I would really like to do is just, boom, just lose myself in the Holy Spirit, and then I don't even have to worry about that. And then wherever he goes, you know, I'm with him. You know, it's like, that's it. Thank you, Scott. Do you get a picture in your mind? That's what Paul's talking about. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, listen, if you live by the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, isn't a picture of, I'm the Holy Spirit over here, say, okay, turn left. All right, turn right. See, we've tried to be intimate with the Holy Spirit, but our mind picture is he's sitting in heaven somewhere, sending directions. I have one of those little GPSs. We call her Naomi. Naomi the Navigator. She sits on my dashboard. And so when I want to go places, I can just punch in where I'm going, and she'll tell me, turn left, turn right. You missed your turn, turn around. As soon as possible, turn around. As soon as possible, turn around. You know, and it's very interesting because Naomi, the navigator, is really great. She's really super. But I found out something about her, and that is this: that when we were in Washington, we came out of the parking garage, and I wanted quickly to be able to find my way out of Washington D.C. right away. So you know, I went in and plugged. Where all I did is plug home. I want to go home. Okay, and so she knows where home is. But she doesn't know where she's at. It takes her a while to acquire signals. Huh? And so, calculating signals. Wait a minute, I'm driving. This is not a time for you to be calculating signals. And what I've learned, is pull out of the garage and stop till she gets her signal, because I don't even know whether to turn left or right coming out of the garage. Huh? And I got to make a decision. So I turned right. And then she says, finally comes out, turn around when you can. Uh-oh, you know, I should have turned left. No, so I got to make sure the signal has been acquired. Pastor, here's what I'm going to do with my life. What do you think about this decision? Well, what does the Holy Spirit think? And you go, acquiring signal. What are you doing driving and making decisions with your life, and you haven't acquired the signal yet? You're meant to know what God wants you to do with your life. Come on, this isn't rocket science. You're his child. Amen. He's fully capable of speaking to you. You just got to learn how to listen. Huh? You got to learn how to listen. He speaks. He's speaking all the time. When are you going to stop being so busy that you'll stop and listen? And when are you going to listen and obey? See, it's that simple. And every time he says something and you hear it and you don't obey, you've lost the signal again. So I'm taking Randy and Heidi into the airport, and I usually come down 93, and this time I went in the Mass Pike, and the Mass Pike now dumps you down through all those new tunnels that they built with all that money. And I've never been through all those tunnels. You know? So you now apparently I'm under the city. And there's exits going this way and exits. I mean, there's doesn't just go in and come out. I mean, there's exits and everything like that, you know. And so I drop down in there. Naomi says, you know, you take this ramp here, go down into the tunnel. I go down into the tunnel, and suddenly, signal lost. Hey, don't do that to me. I'm driving through the tunnel and I've lost my signal. What do you do, by the way, when you lose a signal? You do the last thing that you were told to do. Amen. Go back to where you last lost the signal. Well, the last thing she told me was this, so I'm in the right direction, you know, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I thought, how many times in life are people following the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden they drop into circumstances which sever the signals with God? I'm following God, and all of a sudden, you know, a friend I haven't seen in a long time says, let's get together, and the Holy Spirit says, you don't want to do that. But I haven't seen them in a long time, and what are they going to think? And yet, and there's a pull on my flesh. I really enjoyed being with them. Yeah, that's the old you that's supposed to be dead. But see, the flesh got hungry for the donut or for the relationship. And so you went and you sat down with them. And now you're sitting there and you're sharing with them and you're talking with them. But all of a sudden, the signal is lost. Now you're talking about things you shouldn't be talking about, saying things you shouldn't be saying. Now your soul is pulled in a certain direction. 3 days later, you're thinking, I don't know what's happened to me. You know, my enthusiasm for God isn't what it used to be. My hunger for the Word isn't what it used to be. You know, and you start tracking it back and say, well, gee, it was on Sabbath and it was on Sunday and it was on Monday, you know, but here it is Friday and what happened on Tuesday? Oh, Tuesday's when I sat and met with that person. And ever since then, I don't know how it happened, but ever since that encounter with that person, I've lost my enthusiasm for God. I lost my enthusiasm. Why? You know, I lost my signal. I lost my signal. How do you reacquire that signal? You go back to Monday when the Holy Spirit said, don't sit down with that person. And you go back to when I last had a signal. Holy Spirit, when were you? Oh, yeah, I remember now. I was on the phone. They said, let's get together. I remember clearly, Holy One, right in here. I sensed it. Don't do that. And I ignored it right away. I didn't think about it and ignored it. I ignored it right away. I see that. I do what? Repent. I repent. Okay? Now, there's an interesting thing about Naomi the navigator. She recalculates all the time. You know, I'm turning this way, I'm going this way and everything. And she says, what on earth is he doing? He wants to go there and he's turning over here. And pretty soon I'm way over here. And all the time she's going, recalculate. Well, from where you are now, you can still get there if you go this way. And I continue going here. So she recalculates, well, from where you are now, you can get there this way, you know. And I had one the other day and I was driving down a road and I needed to do something different. That's why I was doing it. But I had to smile because the time she calculates how long it's going to take you to get there. Okay? So from where you're leaving to your house in Hubbardston, it's going to take you 2 hours and 10 minutes. But I wanted to go do something else, so I'm headed in a different direction. I didn't tell her that. And she says, it's now going to take 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's now going to take 2 hours and a half. If you keep driving this way, it's now going to take 2 hours and 45 minutes. In other words, as I'm looking at the time, what I saw is the direction I'm heading is making it longer for me to get to my destination. Is anybody listening here? There's times I had a time in my life where I'm walking, I'm trying to listen to God, I thought, trying to do things, but you know what was happening? Was I was making the distance between where I was and my goal, my destination, was getting longer every step I took. Huh? What do you do when you find things out like that? You repent. You repent. Amen. Well, yeah, but I mean, so now Naomi the navigator is going to say, you know, you've gone so far now, Pastor, it's going to take you 8 hours to get back there. But see, that's a natural happening. You and I, we live in a different dimension. Have you been taught, church, anything about quantum physics here? Little scientists don't understand this. In the atom, there are these little waves of energy circular. They don't go around like you think, but let's use that as a model. And they're going around and around. They jump circuits. They don't move from this circle to this circle. They jump. They literally jump. One moment they're here, the next moment they're there. Now, if you can be here, and we can't even measure the time that it took you to get here, as far as we know, there's no time. All our instruments say that particle was here, and instantaneously that particle's here. They know that. They know that's what happens at the subatomic level. Once you understand that as a principle of quantum physics, then the distance is immaterial. Because if it takes no time, then the distance is not a factor. Did you follow that? If I can be from here to the other side of the building instantaneously, not in a nanosecond, instantaneously, then time is not a factor of the distance. Because time isn't a factor. Huh? So then if I can be from here to there instantaneously, I can be here to Boston instantaneously. That's called, come on, don't look at me weird. The Bible calls that translation. That's what happened to Philip. He was translated from one place, and he's here, and then he shows up somewhere else. The translation has happened in the body of Christ, and people, oh, I don't believe that stuff. Even science believes that stuff. We just don't know how to use the principles of it. We don't understand it. We just know it's true. So whereas Naomi says, you know, Pastor, you know, 5 hours to get home now. When are you going to turn around, Pastor? It's 5.5 hours now, Pastor. You know, it's like, and finally I said, oh, I got to turn around. Oh, man, look what I've got for distance. In the realm of the Spirit. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, if you'll let Him, He'll shift you. He'll shift you. Little John, come here a minute. Okay. Scott, would you come up here? Tim, would you stand over there? It's in here. So, you stand next to Mr. Scott. So I say to little John, listen, I want to take you to Mr. Tim. And so he walks. Okay? This is great. I moved him from one place to the other. The Holy Spirit shifts you. What the Holy Spirit does is says, you don't want to be here. Where do you want to be? You want to be with Mr. Tim? Boom. Now his feet were there. His feet are now here. There's no consciousness of distance. There's no, oh, I've got to take a step back and I'll beat my flesh into submission and I'll do this and then I got to repent of this and I got to do this and I got to, oh man, oh, to step backwards. Oh no, I don't want to step backwards. Another step forward and another step forward. See, that's how most Christians are living their life. They're trying to win spiritual battles, fighting it in the flesh. As opposed to being here and saying, Holy One, I repent with everything in me. I repent with everything in me. And all of a sudden, the next words out of your mouth, you're saying, it is just so good to be here, Holy One. How'd you get from there to there? I don't have a clue. You guys can sit down. Thank you. See, I don't have a clue. The blind man said, I don't know who this Jesus is. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, like you guys say. All I know is one thing. I was blind. Now I see. I was blind over here. I was blind. Now I see. That's called a shift. That's called a shift. Amen? And we need to understand, if we're going to walk with the Holy Spirit, He wants to put us into a realm where He can shift us. And in much of our life, we need drastic shifting. We got to shift. We got to shift out of old ways of thinking. Huh? We got to shift. We got to shift. I can't read all the books and get my mind all educated and everything like this. No, I'm going to trust You, Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, education doesn't matter. I'm over here. I really would like to know that kind of information. I better go to college and get a degree. I better go to grad school and get a degree. And then maybe I better learn Greek, and I better learn Hebrew, and I'll go to all this place. And finally, I come here where I can open my Bible and say, now I understand these things. The Bible says that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He takes someone who says, I'll just trust the Holy Spirit. He says, great. And then he drops you over here in the midst of these people. And from the being in the midst of these people, they ask a question, and you open your mouth, and the Holy Spirit answer comes out. Now, we have abundant evidence of that happening in the body of Christ in very technical fields. Amen. I loved Lee Winston wrote a book, Are You Fun to Live With? That's a good question, by the way. Turn to somebody and ask them that. Are you fun to live with? You might even want to ask yourself that question. Am I fun to live with? You know, do you like living with yourself? You know, I mean, forget whether other people like living with you. But he talked about an experience where back when IBM had these big mainframes and all this, and there was a place down, he was working out of IBM up in New York, and there was a place down in North Carolina or somewhere there, mainframe fills these big rooms in those days, the tubes and everything like that. And, you know, they tried everything, all the staff down, it wasn't working, something was wrong, you know. And he got on a plane to fly down, and he didn't bring any manuals with him at all. He didn't bring the schematics, he got on a plane, just opened his Bible and said, I have the mind of Christ. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think the mind of Christ knows what the problem is? See, we'll all say, well, of course. Yeah, but you don't believe it because you don't act on it. That's intellectual religious faith. Oh, yes, God can do anything. I have the mind of Christ. Well, can you solve this? Oh, no, I can't do that. Wait a minute, you just said you had the mind of Christ. He didn't worry about it. He didn't think about it. He didn't say, help me, Holy Spirit, help me. He just read his scriptures and started quoting things, and he gets to the door of the building. They pick him up at the airport. We're so glad you're here. You know, we're paying, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for this expert to come down, you know. And he goes in, and he said, as I touched the door to the room where the mainframe was, as I touched the door and pulled it open, I saw in my mind, instant picture, I saw in the masses of all of these that way back in the back, down aisle, you know, 138, you know, switch number 742, something like that, was turned wrong. He said, I saw it. I saw it off and it should be on. And he said, and I walked back there. Just walked right in, looked around, found the switch, turned it, and said, now try it. And it worked. And he walked out. You know, and everybody's like, but come on, does your God know that or not? You know, we're seeing things that are miracles. You know, the Holy Spirit can do anything he wants if you'll cooperate. What can he? Well, you know, but it takes years to develop that talent. No, it doesn't. People have sat down and started to play the piano who never played the piano in their life. Now, I'll tell you what my mind does with that. My mind goes tilt. Huh? My mind goes tilt. But in my spirit, I know, well, of course you can, because if you can't do that, you're not God. Here's the problem with my mind. Can I conceive of anybody yielding that much to the Holy Spirit? I know the Holy Spirit can do it. Huh? So I'm looking at me. The gap is not what the Spirit can do. The gap is how unyielded I have been. Well, I could never see myself doing that. No, it's not the doing it. I can't see myself yielding, or couldn't see myself yielding to the Holy Spirit that much. I mean, what can you do if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit? The storm and the waves are going around, and Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out. Well, it's him. What's he going to say? He says, come on out. And what does Peter do? Steps out and walks on the water. Oh, no, Peter sank. No, he didn't. He walked on the water. When he got his mind off being led by the Spirit and got his mind onto the circumstances, he sank. And actually, he began to sink. But see, the Spirit led him out of the boat. The Spirit sustained him walking on the water. Huh? What is the Spirit telling you to do and say? We've got to come to a point where we know his voice, respond to his voice, and then don't let go of what he said. Amen? Am I talking to you? Are you getting a hold of this? Listen, he says, if you'll live by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. I don't care if your flesh is, it's food. I don't care what it is in your life. If you're focused on the Holy Spirit, having a conversation with the Holy Spirit, and following him, he's not going to lead you to the donut table. I can guarantee you that. He's not going to do that. He's not going to have you put all that stuff in your body system. So if you're following him, you'll just walk right by and you'll look at it and there's no attraction to it. You know, Donna, come here a minute. Uh-oh, she says. Listen, when Donna and I walk through the mall, okay, and we're engaged in a conversation, do I notice people? Yes. But if we're in the middle of a deep conversation, am I likely to say, no, I'm not likely to do that. Not if we're in a deep, intimate relationship conversation. You know, I'm not likely to, in the middle of it, and she's sharing her heart with me, or I'm sharing my heart with her, to say, well, look at that funny hat that somebody has on. Now, do I notice the funny hat? Yeah, but it has no claim on me. It doesn't pull me where it wants because I'm focused here. I don't do that. Do I see it? Yes. Is there an attraction to it maybe? Yes, but it doesn't have any hold on me because I'm focused here. But if I'm walking through the mall and I'm just daydreaming and looking around, guess what? Everything in there is attracting me. Everything in there is speaking to me. Come on, have you had things speak to you? You need this new iPod. Don't you just want these new pair of shoes? Everything has a voice, come on. Wouldn't you just like a vacation in the Bahamas? You know, you walk by a travel agency, things speak to you. So if you're just walking through as an open thing, things speak to you. Things say, come look at me, come taste me, come be part of me. But if you maintain your focus on, you know, I don't have time for that because I'm following the Holy Spirit. I'm on a mission. I'm following the Holy Spirit. Holy One, what do you want me to do? What's your purpose for my life? You know? What is today about? You get up every morning, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam. Blessed are you, Lord my God, King of the universe, who has appointed moeds in this day. Now what are you doing? You get up in the morning, I'm looking for moeds. I start talking with somebody, and it's like, no, they're not a moed. I'm talking to, no, they're not a moed. I'm looking for a moed. All of a sudden, I walk by somebody, and the spirit in me says, that's it. And you think, that's it? Yeah, okay. Like Samuel. You're going to anoint the new king, and the first elder brother comes in, and he says, surely this is the one. Surely this is the one, tall and handsome. And the spirit says, no, that's not him. He says, you got to remember, God doesn't look like a man looks. And so he's looking through these natural eyes. He's never going to figure out who the king is. And then up comes David, and the Holy Spirit says, that's the one. How many Davids have you missed in your life? Come on, how many Davids have you missed in your life? Because it didn't look like God. Didn't look through what? Didn't look through your human eyes. Well, surely this wasn't the job God would want me to have. Why? On what basis? Come on. I started out my career in the high-tech industry as a secretary. Pastor, you were a secretary? Yeah, I needed money on the table. I went to Manpower. I said, do you have any openings for secretaries? And they said, well, yeah. I said, well, come on, think about it. In the Army years ago, you know, you were a typist assistant or something. You know, your clerk typist, you were a male. In corporate America in the 1910s, all the high-level secretaries were men. It's just an ego thing you got to get over. I had so many men say, I could never do that. Look, it was bread on the table. It led me to a position at the top of my area in HP Corporation. I wasn't going to stay a secretary, but that's what God opened up for me. Come on. Am I talking to anybody? Quit using your mind to figure it out. God opens an opportunity. Well, I can't do that. If God opened it up, you surely can do it. Amen? Come on. You know, there's a young man, young woman, you know, and you're trying to use your eyes to figure out who God might select as a spouse for you. Turn your eyes off and turn your heart on. Huh? Turn on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit all of a sudden brings two people together, and it's like, and they don't even look likely. The Holy Spirit does things. Amen? But we're so used to living out of the flesh, we don't know how to walk in the Spirit. But if you'll walk in the Spirit, you're never going to gratify your flesh. You'll never be coming and saying, Pastor, I did it again. Pastor, I'm around the same tree again. Oh, but those will never be part of your phrase. Because when you follow the Holy Spirit, He's faithful to lead you and guide you. We are in accelerated times. We are in accelerated times. Amen? And what's accelerated times mean? Come here, Tim, I'm using you today. Accelerated times means the Holy Spirit's going to move fast. And we want to just have a nice relationship where we just walk hands in hands with the Holy Spirit. But we're in a time when He's picked up the pace. You know, and now you're going to have to decide. Listen, there's going to be quick turns in your life, you know, and you're going to have to hang on tight. And then pretty soon He's going to start picking up the pace, you know, and then He's really going to get going, you know. And there's going to be times when, boy, I tell you, the Holy Spirit is going to say, you want to go? Then let's go all out flat, you know, and you're just going to run and you're going to turn and He's going to run. So what did Tim do? He hung on with two hands. That's called hold fast. Have you heard that in the Bible? Hold fast. Hold on like your life depends on it. Because it does. Do you have a right to go out here and make your own decisions? Of course you do. Will God love you if you make wrong decisions? He loves you beyond all measure. But will you walk in the kingdom of God? If you're walking your own way, not at all. That's what Paul says. So what he offers us is an opportunity to deal, not just having repented, but to deal with the sin nature. He offers us an opportunity to deal with the sin nature. I'm no longer dependent on it. Because I'm going to be focused on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take quick correction. Boy, if I vary a little bit, yet I see that, sir, I'm back on track instantly. I'm just going to take quick you tell me, Holy One. I'm going to work hard to listen. It's not hard if you develop that sense. And he speaks quickly. He doesn't yell at you. But you'll just get it. Listen, he doesn't speak up here. By the way, the minute you're up here, you know you're not listening. He speaks down here. Amen? See, Sherry, Mary's going to go down into that break room, and she's going to try to listen up here, try to figure it out. I know Sherry was talking with God down here. A God thing happened in my break room. You know, and see, she's up here. But when you walk in that same room where she can't find him, you're going to go in and break out in a grin every time. You're going to walk in that room and say, Abba. You're still here, aren't you? And he's going to say, yes, I am. And it's like, why? Because you're conversing out of here. You're living out of here. And once you start living out of here, there's no other way to live. There's no other way to live. Yom Kippur is over. The Day of Atonement is past. We are one with Abba if we've truly yielded our life to Yeshua, if we truly receive forgiveness of sins from Him, then He forgave us of sin and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Pastor, how do I not walk back in the things I let go of? By following the Spirit. By following the Spirit. Last thing I want you to understand is, well, if I'm not really sure about the Spirit, sometimes I'm confused, then you want to hang around with those who aren't confused. Amen? Let me borrow you a minute again. So there's times when Donna and I walk like this, side by side, we're sharing, we're talking about experiences in the Lord. And then there's times when we shift into an area that she's very familiar with, how the Holy Spirit speaks, and I do one of these. I she'll say something, and my mind will go, don't understand that. So tell me more. What am I doing? See, the minute I know I don't understand it, if I continue to think we're equals, you know, I don't know how you see that verse that way. I see it this way. Well, I don't know how you see that. You know, it's like, you know, now what am I? I've already admitted I don't know. So I'm in my flesh having an argument with somebody who knows. How dumb. I get behind and say, if I have something I'm not sure of. We saw something on TV the other day. Something was going on, and it bothered me. I mean, just groups of people get into different kinds of things. And so I hunted her up. She was in the bedroom. I said, can I ask you something? I'm really bothered by this. And, And I was fully willing to be corrected. If she had said, no, that's the way the spirit is, and you're just in your flesh, that's your flesh reacting, I would have said, okay, then I'll learn not to react. But in that case, she said, no, you're picking up something right. They're just, that's them. They get off on this thing, and it really opens the door to other things. Okay, good. But see, what did I do? I wanted to make sure it wasn't my flesh that was reading that out. So I went to one I trusted. And I said, I'm going to step behind you and let you lead through this discussion. And I'll follow. Whichever way you go, I'm going to follow. Okay? And then we come out of that discussion. Next thing you know, we're back up together, side by side, sharing together and everything like that. Does that make some sense to you? When there's confusion, find yourself someone who you trust, who follows the Spirit of God. Well, how do I know they're following the Spirit of God? It's called fruit. It's called becoming a fruit inspector. Huh? Well, what kind of fruit am I looking for? Love? Joy? You know, you'd eliminate half the people you listen to if you just look for the fruit of joy. You know, now that you mention it, Pastor, they're never joyful. Then why are you letting them speak anything into your life? Love is a fruit. Joy is a fruit. Peace. Patience. Huh? You want somebody who's got lots of patience, not just with you, but with life itself. They walk through things with patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Someone who you know they're always faithful to God. Gentleness. Self-control. See, you find people have those qualities, and then that's the fruit you're looking for. I'm looking for that kind of fruit. If I see that kind of fruit, then I can trust what's coming out is someone who's following the Spirit, because the Spirit produces that fruit. Did you get anything out of this? Did this help you at all? Huh? You got some idea how you can be successful? How you can walk out this post-Yom Kippur time? We can really celebrate in tabernacles. We really can be free to follow the pillar and the cloud with confidence that He's going to lead us. The Holy One's going to lead us. He led you here. Amen. He's got something good in store for you. Father, we thank you and praise you for your love for us. We thank you that you do have plans to prosper us and not to harm us. According to your word, you are in favor of our success. Thank you for teaching us today that as we learn to walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, that we will be guaranteed we won't have a struggle with the sins of the flesh, because we'll be simply so hungry, so enthralled with you, so daily in your presence that there's no room left for anything else. Father, be with us now as we go out into this day, the rest of this week. May our eyes be open to the moeds, the divine appointments and encounters you have for us in the name of Yeshua. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. May He bless your going in and your coming out from this day forth and forevermore. In the name of our Lord. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.